Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in this Catskill region. Wars and other life circumstances can result in children being orphaned and neglected. Around the world, including in our own communities, grandparents are becoming caregivers for their grandchildren, but often with little support. Someone who has been studying this issue is Dr. Skola Matovu, a gerontological nurse scientist, assistant professor, and director of global learning and engagement at the University of Utah College of Nursing, where she also serves as the principal investigator for the Matovu Research Lab. She is also a fellow in the Betty Irene Moore Fellowship for Nurse Leaders and Innovators at the University of California, Davis, which is how I came to know her. I teach in that program, and I am delighted to have Dr. Matovu join me today on Health Cetera in the Catskills. Thank you so much, Skola, for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Dan. I'm delighted to join you here. Thanks for the invitation.
So you're doing this work on grandparents who are caring for their grandchildren. They're raising their grandchildren. It's not just, you know, coming over and spending a Friday night so their parents can get away. It's really raising their grandchildren. Tell us about how you got so deeply engaged in this work.
Thank you, Diana. And I like that you started with that distinction. There is grandparenting, as we know it, traditional, and there is grandparent caregiving, where it goes beyond that weekend daycare service or role to a full-time job. But I often say that grandparent caregiving chose me. And I say that because I was raised by my jaja or my grandma in a very small village in Uganda in East Africa. And this was around the HIV epidemic. Era. And as a young girl, I remember trailing along behind my grandmother and witnessing, you know, these grandmothers at funerals as they buried their children. And some of them buried multiple children, five children or even more. And I remember witnessing their cries. I remember hearing their shared quiet, heavy stories about this HIV crisis. And at the time, the heavy stigma that came with that crisis, for sure. But I also listened to them, you know, talking about these impossible tasks, this, you know, heavy responsibility of raising these children that have been left behind and without support. And I saw that in my own home as my own grandmother struggled to take care of me and multiple other children in the household. So it was that lived experience for me alongside, you know, my work now as a nurse scientist that continue to drive my research today with this vision that we should live in a world where grandparents, particularly the grandmothers who often take on this role, they don't just survive, they don't just persevere through, but they truly, truly flourish and thrive, recognized, supported, and lifted in their role.
So you're doing work, and you originally arose from Uganda around this. You know about grandparents caring for the grandchildren in Uganda.
Right.
You're
right.
Now in Utah at the university, although you go back and forth.
That's right.
Yes. But in Utah, you've discovered that there's a lot in common with Uganda in terms of grandparenting. Tell us about what the situation is in the United States and globally. How much of an issue is this? Of grandparents taking care and raising their grandchildren?
Sure. Thank you for that question, because often I get questioned in different forms or variations, but I get the question of, what do grandmothers in Utah have to do anything with those in Uganda or in Asia or other places? And my response is that grandparent caregiving is more common than we think, than people realize. And it's truly global in nature, and I'll tell you why. when we think of just within the United States alone, more than 6.7 million grandparents are living with their grandchildren. Mm. And there are different factors, whether it's, you know, the current opioid epidemic or, you know, the socioeconomic challenges or instability. And in the 80s, it was the crack epidemic. So this has been ongoing for a while, different times, different scenarios. But globally, millions of grandparents are doing the same. They're stepping into this role, you know, to support and raise these children, mm-hmm. especially in sub-Saharan Africa. This was mostly because of the HIV/AIDS epidemic of the 80s and 90s. But we have more contemporary issues now, like these young people, labor migration of young people into Saudi Arabia and other Middle East countries to work as house help. And that is not always shown in the media. But they're leaving the young children with these grandmothers to provide them that stability, but often they don't get the support, you know, mm-hmm. that they expect from, you know, their adult children, or they just don't have any other kind of resources, health or other resources they need to support these young children that they're caring for.
So tell us what the focus of your research is at this point.
My research in Uganda and in Utah, you know, essentially shows that these grandparent caregivers are demonstrating remarkable perseverance. That is a common thread. And many are managing this financial strain and health challenges, technology challenges, and daily parenting and responsibilities that require this ongoing negotiation and trauma-informed sensitivity and care. Because most of them, especially in the U.S., are taking care of children from broken homes due to domestic violence or, you know, substance abuse. And in fact, one of the grandmothers recently told us in Utah, she said, it's about setting these boundaries. Mm. You know, but you also have to understand what their past is and what the challenges they're facing are. So it's a fine line every day, you see. And another one also shared with us and says, I'm always trying to keep up with the newest app because they're on it. They're using it and I have to learn and I want to make sure that they're safe, and it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. So these grandparents are really learning on the job because they're experiencing different challenges that they did with their adult children. But they continue to show up. They continue to sacrifice their own well-being, skip meals, for example, mm-hmm. or even their medical care to support a grandchild's after a school program. But we cannot advise against that. And that's what we've learned in both places, because these grandparents need their grandchildren around and vice versa, you know. And so they look at that as a sense of purpose. They find satisfaction in that in spite of the overwhelming burden. And so we have to be able to, you know, capitalize on that, you know, that strength, so that we can build programs and sustain interventions around the strengths that they find in this role.
So tell us a little bit more about what we don't already understand. So we've got a good bit of literature around family caregiving, for example. We know family caregivers in general face, you know, various kinds of emotional stresses with the caregiving, economic challenges, sometimes social isolation challenges, mm-hmm. and other issues. I mean, and for older people, if you're a grandparent, you've got your own health issues likely. And so what do we still not understand about this issue to be able to develop the kinds of interventions and policies that might improve the life for grandparents?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that question, Diana. I think there are several gaps, there's no doubt. But one of the most important gaps we have is that we don't fully capture the complexity of the grandparent caregiving phenomena or situation. They may be contextually diverse, you know, whether it's grandmother and grandfather taking care of a two-year-old, or it could be a single grandmother, or whatever the scenario may be. We also don't understand the global similarities, because that's also a gap in its own, and understanding the continuity of that role, that it's not only happening during crisis, you know, it's happening every day. a grandmother in rural Uganda and one in urban Utah, they face very different systems and supports. And there's no doubt about that. And yet, there's so many similarities in terms of what they need financially, physically, socially. And that's one gap. And the other gap is that we lack long-term data, you know, on the well-being and health and interventions that support these individuals. And especially in settings where, you know, research is not or policy is not focused on these individuals. We don't have the numbers. And so we miss the voices. Their voices are often missing in policy and in program design. And even with the well-intentioned programs here in the U.S., such as U.S. kinship care policies or social security supports or national caregiving support programs, they may not fully reach or even clearly define this group, because some of these programs are anchored in medical systems like Medicare, Medicaid, and typically depend on qualifying medical diagnosis such as dementia. So they are providing services for family caregivers for individuals with, you know, dementia as an example. And so a grandparent raising a grandchild while they're managing their own, in, you know, health, whether they're related to caregiving or age-related, and they're carrying this intense and demanding caregiving role, they're often going to fall through those cracks, you know, because they're not the family caregivers that these services may be targeting. And so it's always complicated. And even when you think international in terms of available programs such as cash transfer programs or community health initiatives, they're often, if that they exist at all, they're often very inadequate, extremely inadequate, and they don't always reach or fully support these grandparents. So they don't exist in places like in Uganda. So without that nuanced understanding, policies and programs will risk missing this very sensitive and, I would say, vulnerable and hidden group of grandparents who are caring for grandchildren.
Very well said. I'm actually, it gives me pause, but I'm not sure if our listeners here have seen this, but just today or yesterday, I saw that the Trump administration, or Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary of Health and Human Services, has said that the government is going to go after what he says is fraud in paying family members to care for somebody who is on disability in their home. So there has been this movement over time because of what we know about family caregiving and the shortage of, for example, round-the-clock care for somebody who is disabled by some a home health aide, for example, or a personal care worker. And so in some states, and there was a nurse, Susan Reinhardt, who has led some of this work through AARP in the past, there was an effort to get Medicaid to pay for the family member who is caring for this disabled person at home, and it's not a whole lot of money. And so while there might be a couple people who are taking advantage of the system, it is so crucial for people to get the care that they need that it's really disturbing to think that that's where we're targeting our efforts. Instead, what are we doing to support grandparents who we know are stressed with having to now be parenting again? And a new generation, a younger generation. I mean, a grandparent's older, and the idea of running around after a small child is, you know, probably more than most can be.
75 or more.
Yes. So,
but you make a good point, Diana. That's why advocacy matters. You know, everywhere that we can do it, through social media, at Capitol Hill, other places, we have to relentlessly, because, you know, again, you know, many groups, family caregivers, and especially those may be hidden under those labels, fall through those cracks because of what we are facing today. So I hear you.
What would be the policies that you would like to see in place to address the needs of these grandparents?
Mm-hmm. We definitely need to safeguard what we already have in place so that they're not dismantled, continue have kinship legal support, for example, protections for these grandparents who are struggling to find ways of securing legal guardianship for their grandchild because the adult child may be struggling with substance abuse. And then we see this back and forth, the child going between the adult child and their parents and the grandma's house and, you know, but with challenges, having to get the legal protections that they need. We need some reforms within schools so that schools can recognize grandparents as key, as parents to these children when the adult child is not in place. Labor laws, for example, around, you know, most grandmothers, have to get out of retirement, get another job. They may lose some benefits. So there is a lot of that going on. So there are many ways in which we can continue to intervene, looking at specific interventions, systems, tailoring systems of support to the needs of these individuals, and even within our own, you know, research or medical groups or medical organizations. You know, we think of, for example, clinical interventions, you know, looking at implications, when we look at clinical interventions such as, you know, developing a device such as a glucose monitor, it might take us more than 10 years to get that regulated. And in the meantime, this grandmother is going without food. Yes, they will benefit from that device when it comes around.
Yes.
But today they just need food for their grandchildren for lunch. Yes. Today the grandmother in Uganda is carrying a 16-year-old child with a disability on her back to take the child miles away to a clinic to get their HIV medication. You know, so how do we meet them where they are? And so it's very important to, you know, think about interventions that are directed and meet these individuals where they are and the needs that they have that are more pressing. Otherwise, anything might be sophisticated or really innovative, but if they don't have the basic needs, then they're not able to sustain their role and their families.
And let me also point out that here in the United States, there are cuts that are being proposed to the food supplemental nutrition program, the SNAP program, that provides food benefits to needy families and individuals. And they're talking about taking those benefits away for if a child who's disabled is staying with parents. I'm assuming that it also would apply to grandparents. And so,
absolutely,
you know, if you've got households that are on the margins to begin with, just because this disabled person is in the same household doesn't mean you need less food. It's crazy. So I want you to talk about your podcast because you're also looking to provide support right away to grandparents. So tell us about this podcast you're developing.
Thank you. And, you know, in both places, both Uganda and Utah, our research, the Matov Research Lab is focused on meeting these grandparents in need where they are. And right now we have an ongoing study funded by the Betty Irene Moore Fellowship. And it's, you know, we're looking at perspectives of grandparents about challenges, barriers, facilitators to resources that they need, and also seeking, perspectives of the providers, whether they're social workers or nurses or lawyers or others, you know, to be able to understand how we can better support them. And in Utah, and other affluent settings, I must say, you know, the kinship care or other services, they do exist. The issue is, how do they access them? How do they know about them? And so the trouble and what we found from this research is that access is the issue, you know, so that they can be able to navigate easily the systemic and geographic and, you know, informational barriers. And so to address that need, we are co-designing a podcast and a community informed podcast called The Grand Experience that we're very excited to launch this summer. And it's community informed. We have, again, those different groups that are serving grandparents and grandparents. And we're highlighting what those caregiving needs are. We're sharing knowledge. We're sharing services. We're sharing research in a language that, you know, people understand. You know, as researchers, we write papers, we publish them in journals, and the grandparents don't even subscribe to those journals. They don't even know what the findings are. And so we want to bring them to their phone, to, you know, so they can be able to watch that episode or that reel or short about what the resources are, what the research is saying. And, you know, we also want to be able to promote this transcultural experience of caregiving, you know, across, you know, continents, be able to hear about stories of grandmothers in other places as well, because this is important not to study individuals in isolation, but also understand their networks. You know, we are interviewing individuals like myself who are raised by their grandparents. What is that perspective? And what can the grandmother learn, even though she's not here 20, 30 years later? What impact could she possibly be having on the lives of these individuals or these children when they grow up? And so we are looking at different ways of disseminating this research and knowledge through this podcast. So we're very excited.
And this podcast is launching when?
We are launching around June 1st. That is, I mean, July 1st. That's the goal. So tentatively. But definitely towards the end of summer.
And how would people access it?
Well, you can go on my website, drscholamatovo.com, and we'll have a link to where the podcast is. But we'll also have a link and other different social media platforms where we'll be promoting it as the Grand Experience. And so you can use that as the handle.
Spell out your website page.
drscholamatovu.com.
That is Dr. Schola Matovu at dot com. drscholamatovu.com. And finally, any final thoughts for our listeners who we are in an area that's an aging population, and many people have grandchildren that they spend time with, maybe even some would-be caretakers, but certainly this is to me an issue that goes beyond whether you're taking care of your grandchild or not. It's an issue about the future of our children, the future of our communities, future of our country. So what are the takeaways for listeners?
Sure. Definitely to the grandmothers and grandfathers out there. And, you know, we don't say enough about the grandfathers because, you know, often they're not in the primary role, or often they're providing care in a different way. But nonetheless, we say to the grandparents, especially when you're just beginning, for whatever reason you're becoming the, or you're reparenting again, for whatever reason, and you don't know what to do, we say lean into your strength. Your experience as a parent, yes, it may be challenged with this new generation, but that experience and the love and the stability, those are powerful assets. We also say don't do it alone. You know, seek out community programs, support programs, kinship programs. That's why we are doing the podcast, to be able to increase visibility to where those resources are. Prioritize your health. Your well-being is essential, not only for you, of course, but for sustaining the care of this young, you know, this young generation.
It's sort of like when you're on the airplane, they tell you if oxygen is needed, put it on yourself first, then do your child.
That's right. Exactly. I think that's important. And it's hard for grandparents to do that, because it's like, no, you know, I have to take care of my child. Both in Utah and Uganda, you hear the same story when you say, so how do you take care of yourself? And the natural response is, oh, I just want to make sure the grandchildren get this or get the other. And so it's important to prioritize yourself and your health. Ask for the help early, you know, whether it's school help or clinics or legal offices. advocating matters, and advocating for yourself is okay. It's not taking advantage of the system as it's always branded. It's seeking to advocate for yourself and to advocate for your family.
Well, this is really important work, Scola, and I look forward to how it evolves. The idea, when I think about, you know, grandparents in Uganda being able to connect with grandparents in Utah or the rest of this country or the rest of the world, and the stories that can be shared, it seems like it's the opportunity to create an online global community of grandparents who are caregivers and provide that kind of social support that some may not be getting. So thank you for your
work.
And I've been talking with Dr. Scola Motovu, a gerontological nurse scientist, assistant professor, and director of global learning and engagement at the University of Utah College of Nursing, where she also serves as the principal investigator for the Motovu Research Lab. Thank you so much, Scola, for coming on to Health Cetera.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, my pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.